Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Lent is a season of preparation, and we began this season this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. The word literally means, Lent literally means spring season. How many of you are just ready for spring season? I'm ready for 40 degrees to be more than just one day at a time. Like, let's have a few days in a row of some sunshine like we had yesterday. Yesterday was kind of this crazy day where the day felt wonderful, and then in the afternoon, something just fell apart. I don't know what it was. But we're ready for spring, and that's what Lent really means. It's this day that our church fathers kind of orchestrated. It's a season of time that spans 46 days to help us prepare for Easter. It's 46 days because there's 40 days if you count just Monday through Saturday. The original people that wanted to create this pattern for worship said the Sundays will remain resurrection celebrations as we come into the Easter season. So it's that Monday through Saturday, 40-day observation. And I think some of you know this, but maybe some of you don't. 40 is a pretty significant number in Scripture. It appears over 100 times, and it typically indicates a period of testing or trial or probation. It rained for 40 days and nights to cause the great flood recorded in Genesis. Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years, then in Midian, shepherding in the wilderness for another 40 years. Moses, when he brought God's people out of Egypt, also was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, receiving the law on two different occasions. Jonah warned the city of Nineveh for 40 days about the pending doom if they did not repent. And Jesus appeared to his disciples over a 40-day period of time between his resurrection and the ascension. It's also believed traditionally that Jesus was in the tomb for 40 hours over the span of three different days. 40 is a significant number. And where we're going to start our conversation today is in this other 40-day period of time, the days that Jesus spent in the wilderness tempted by Satan that we've already read in this service. Now, at this time, we've seen some amazing circumstances of Jesus' life, but it is Luke chapter 4, which means we're really at the beginning of all of this amazing story. We've seen at this point angels appearing to Mary, announcing her immaculate conception. We've seen angels appearing to Joseph, encouraging him to take Mary as his wife and also to flee to Egypt and then come back again to the region of Galilee to raise his young family. We have this brief glimpse of Jesus at the age of 12 when the family makes their annual pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, and Jesus somehow slips out of the caravan and stays behind teaching in the temple. And because this is a family nomadic group, they didn't even realize Jesus was gone for several days. How would you like to have lost the Son of God? I still can't imagine how that felt as they traveled back to Jerusalem. I've lost my dog before and thought I was just going to lose it. Losing the Son of God, that would have been some sleepless nights. Amen? Then we don't see Jesus again until he's 30 years old. I've often asked, why 30? Why did he wait this long? Culturally speaking, 30 was the age that the Jewish people believed that you were a full man. According to their Jewish teachings and understanding of Torah, that's when you became the age worthy of leadership. He receives the baptism of John, and he's probably the only person that John baptized that did not first repent, because of course Jesus was without sin. And at that moment of baptism, we see and hear the Trinity in this moment. We see the Holy Spirit as it appears as a dove and descends upon Jesus, and we hear the voice of God the Father, and it is heard saying these words, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Are there more powerful words than for us as parents to look at our children and say, "You bring me great joy"? What that does for us as children to hear our parents say those words to us, "You bring me great joy." What a moment. What a moment. If I were Jesus's road manager, which I was applying for the job, I didn't get it, but if I were Jesus's road manager, I would have booked some places to keep this momentum going. What a start. Let's keep this momentum going. The crowd of sinners gathered around the Jordan River that day had witnessed an incredible declaration of the sonship of Jesus. News was beginning to spread around the region. Let's go. Let's get this. But not quite yet. Instead, Jesus finds himself in the wilderness, and he will stay there for 40 days. What does the wilderness look like? We're going to look at the wilderness that Jesus experienced in just a moment. But for now, I want us to think about our personal wilderness experiences. The wilderness is often unpleasant, especially in human terms. Many in a wilderness experience will struggle to survive from day to day as financial, material, and physical or even emotional burdens continue to press down. We naturally desire, as human beings, we naturally desire prosperity and health and easy road. And I think that's why we love the beginning of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Those are some comforting words at the very beginning here. But the same God who created the green pastures and the still waters and the restoration of your soul, the same God who created the garden also created the wilderness. So in this life, I got some unpleasant news for us all, but in this life, times of trial and pressure, they're going to come. Faith will be tested. Wilderness seasons are often bewildering, lonely, exhausting, overwhelming. They can come with a diagnosis of your life or the life of someone you love. They can come at a loss. They can come even in the form of a broken relationship. Sometimes wilderness experiences even come unannounced and with unknown origins that drive us into depression and mental negativity. If I were to go and ask, I think we would all raise our hands to answer this question, that we've all experienced a desolate place in our life. We've all come to a place where we've just felt isolated and alone and that nothing was going right. A challenging season, maybe. Some of us seem to find the wilderness more than others, and I wish I understood that. Your wilderness, though, is unique to you. It's unique to you. It's natural to want to avoid the wilderness experiences, and yet, as we read the Scripture as written by biblical authors and inspired by God Himself, we come to realize that not only are wilderness experiences to be expected, but they are a necessary part of walking with God. Here's some examples of wilderness experiences found in God's Word. Historians will place the story of Job pre-Abraham. Job is a man who lost his family. He lost his home and his flock. He even lost his health. That's a wilderness experience. We already mentioned the testing that Moses experienced as he left Egypt the first time and was in the wilderness of Midian learning to shepherd. Elijah is a prophet who went toe-to-toe with King Ahab and Jezebel. He called down fire from heaven one minute and then is running for his life the next, wishing that he had never been born. That was a wilderness experience. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, three faithful Jewish people living in exile, felt the wilderness of a persecution that led to being thrown into a fiery furnace. Their friend Daniel faced it by spending the night among the lions. There are countless stories in Scripture of God's people experiencing challenging moments. We would identify these as wilderness experiences. I have some questions. Could it be possible that when we find ourselves in a desolate place, that we're actually in those moments being invited into training for a mission that lies ahead? When I look at these biblical stories, I see that is true. Could that be true for us? Could it be possible that moments of loneliness, anger, and temptation serve as a furnace that further forges our character in Christ? Could it be possible that the wilderness offers us a gift? The gift of distraction-free listening, the gift of quietness and contemplation, the gift of rediscovering God's voice deep in our life. Well, the most powerful wilderness I think we see in Scripture is from our reading today from Luke chapter 4. We've read it already. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness where He's tempted by the devil, not just three times. He is tempted by the devil over a 40-day period of time. He ate nothing. And the first temptation that comes seems to be an act of compassion. Jesus, You can turn that stone into bread. Why don't You just use Your power and authority to do so? And He says, no. The Scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. He moves on to say, I will give You all of the kingdoms of this world. Just worship Me. And Jesus replied, the Scriptures say that you must worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. The devil had the audacity to take Jesus to the temple and put Him at the highest place and said, jump off. I've read Psalm 91, Jesus. You'll be fine. And Jesus says, there's more to that. You must not test the Lord your God. When we read this Scripture, let's not forget that it ended with this powerful word from Luke that said, He left Him until the next opportunity came. Do not think that Jesus was tempted only three times in His life. He was tempted over 40 days in a period of time that He was not only in a bad environment, the wilderness, but He was not eating anything, which made Him incredibly vulnerable. And if He's like me, when I don't eat for 40 minutes, I get a little testy. Attitude starts showing up. I don't know how Jesus handled 40 days. So, this is the moment that I want us to understand. It didn't happen by accident. This moment in time did not happen because Jesus made a wrong turn. It was not a moment that took place simply because Jesus was living in a fallen world. Look closely at that Scripture and you'll see that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to enter into this season of the wilderness, marked by an incredible surroundings, desolate area, but also the behavior of fasting to seek the voice of God again, His Father, in His life. Luke shares these three moments that Jesus was tempted, but we know there had to have been more. While Satan is not omnipresent, what I mean by that big theological word is Satan is not everywhere. God is everywhere. Satan is a created being who is limited in time and space. But he shows up in this moment. He shows up here to attempt to derail the mission of Jesus, which had just a few days ago began. And he begins by attacking his physical needs. Some of us have felt that attack. He moves on and talks about possession and power. We've been tempted in that same way. And he ends this test by working on Jesus' pride. These are not new tricks. Satan has been doing these three tricks on the people of God since the beginning of time. And he succeeded. He has succeeded time and time again as he's tempted people for physical needs, for power, and for pride. But Jesus is different. Every fiber of Jesus' life was to do the will of the Father who sent Him. So when Satan says, use your power to turn these stones into bread, Jesus says, you have no idea what drives Me, do you? It is not food. When Satan says, I'll give you these kingdoms, I'll make you the ruler of earth, Jesus says, My kingdom transcends this ground. And when Satan says, perform for us, Jesus, jump from this wall, Jesus says, you know what? I came to die, not to perform and to become your puppet. See, in our wilderness experiences, we too often are looking for solutions to get out as fast as possible. Jesus had three opportunities to get out of this wilderness experience very quickly. We want to use our logic and our thinking that gets us out of these moments. But instead, I wonder if what God is challenging us to do today is to, in the midst of the wilderness, look for the lessons that we can learn. Our exit strategy is too often built around reason and logic. Instead, I wonder if God is wanting to create within us a keen awareness of the voice of God. See, the voice of reason can say, you deserve better. But the voice of God says, I'm forming something better within you. The voice of reason can say, satisfy that desire. But the voice of God says, only I can satisfy your greatest desires. The voice of reason will say, no one else will know. But the voice of God says, know me, know my word. The voice of reason can say, be popular. But the voice of God says, be holy. See, what I think that I'm seeing in this wilderness experience recorded in Scripture, especially this critical moment in the ministry of Christ, is this. Is that God leads us to moments when we can best identify the difference between righteousness and selfishness. It's in those darkest moments that suddenly there's a separation between the light and the dark that is becoming more and more clear. It's in the wilderness that we're given opportunity to apply God's word in our life. So let me just say something incredibly obvious here, and I apologize if this sounds elementary. But we have to know it to apply it. Jesus thrived in the wilderness out of his understanding and knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. Plain and simple. Here's what I believe God might be sharing with you today. Resisting the reality of the wilderness experience may cause you to miss the presence of God along the journey. Think about this. If we continue to push back against the wilderness experiences of our life, we miss the opportunity to depend on God even more. We miss the opportunity to learn and apply God's word. We miss the opportunity to develop a keen awareness of this gentle, small voice of God inside of us. I read a blog by Dina Johnson on crosswalk.com. It's a great website of various authors do daily devotions. She wrote these words. I thought this had great application to our text today. As I contemplated my own wilderness experience, she wrote, I came to realize that the wilderness is God's way of preparing us to do His will, to be used by Him. Without preparation, we cannot have a true understanding of who we are and who our Savior is. It is in the wilderness that our hearts are purified. It's in the wilderness that we see God's tender mercies caring for us day by day. It's in the wilderness that we find the great I Am, the one who meets our every need at just the right moment. It's in the wilderness that our faith is grown and perfected. Sometimes we may have wilderness experiences because we just live in a broken world, a broken planet. But whether or not the Spirit of God has orchestrated any given journey into the wilderness, God is still there with you. I know many of you are facing a personal wilderness right now that feels like it is going to overtake you. It is going to bring you down. I want you to understand that there is a God that is going into that wilderness with you. You are never alone. So regardless of the source of the wilderness, God can redeem our wilderness experiences to train us, to shape us, to help us, to teach us to recognize His voice, and maybe most importantly, to seal our identity in His love. See, with God, time and wasteland moments of life are never wasted. Never. James wrote in his letter to the church these powerful words, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I read that and chuckle sometimes. I do not react to troubles of any kind as opportunities for great joy. Anybody else with me on that? I consider troubles of any kind to be troubles of any kind. James, the brother of Jesus, says to us, consider them an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Are you feeling stuck in the wilderness today? You're not alone. Perhaps your wilderness is an addiction, or the death of someone close to you, or infertility, or betrayal, or abuse. We all have different experiences, but I'm asking us to let God draw close to us as we draw close to Him in the midst of those wilderness experiences. And if we do, I believe that He will answer your prayers and grow your faith beyond what you could ever imagine. When we run from the wilderness experience, we miss the opportunity to grow us. As we journey toward Easter, I'm reminded that the mission of Jesus caused Him incredible pain and yet cost me nothing. I deserve death. Jesus took my place. I'm humbled by the sacrifice, but I cannot grasp it. I cannot wrap my head fully around the cross. But I wonder, have you come to Jesus by faith? Are you willing to trust His love? Are you willing to go to Him and receive His forgiveness? I challenge you, the brave, those who are sleep deprived and at early service today, would you be so brave as to seek Him in truth and in genuine trust, because He has redeemed your life. Yes, He has redeemed your wilderness experience. He is as close as a whisper, and He is ready to hear from you. The song we're going to sing in response to this idea has some powerful words that as you sing them today, I believe they will become your prayer. Among them are these words: show me who you are and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me. Then later the song declares, I will build my life upon your love. Because your love, it is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. This is more than a lyric of a song. This is a declaration of faith for us to respond that no matter where God may lead us, no matter what wilderness we may find ourselves in, we will not be alone. Would you stand with me? As I pray and as we prepare to respond, we'll sing this song. We'll prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper together. And as we do all of this, we do this listening for that gentle voice and responding. God, as we come before you today, we seek truth even in the midst of the wilderness. We come and we gather to respond to what your voice challenges us with this day. Would you speak to our heart? Would you encourage those among us who are standing here today or listening to this recording weeks from now, struggling in the midst of the wilderness? And would you help us to lean on you, our firm foundation, for the moments that you want to train and teach and lift us up? God, you alone can do this. We place our trust in you. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.